weather and climate often cause concern and curiosity, but understanding the facts behind the phenomena can be a challenge. We're here to help. From the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Illinois Public Media, welcome to Weather Realness, a weekly podcast about the skies above Illinois and the world.
I'm Trent Ford, the Illinois State Climatologist with the Prairie Research Institute. Spring gardening can sometimes feel like a battle against the elements. Heat, cold, pests, wet and dry conditions all can take a toll on plants, and we often get all of them, sometimes in the same day in the spring. Joining us now is Dr. Jen Nelson, a horticulturalist who is a professor in the Department of Crop Sciences at the University of Illinois. She also runs her own gardening blog called Grounded and Growing, and she's here to talk about the right strategies to get your garden going this spring. So thank you very much, Jen, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So based off of your experience and people you talk to and some of the questions you get, what are some of the biggest challenges that gardeners face in the spring?
Well, probably the biggest challenge we've all been facing it the last few weeks, is fluctuating temperatures.
Showers and thunderstorms are going to be on the docket, so make sure that you have your umbrella. You probably even heard some of those thunderstorms earlier this morning. I know I heard them to wake me up. Showers and storms move through the region about 10 a.m. We'll start to see those wind down just a little bit before more return later this afternoon.
Good evening, everyone. One of the big weather stories today, the unseasonably warm weather. In fact, we're in the midst of a warming trend. And already today, temperatures across much of central Illinois running anywhere from 10 to about 15 degrees warmer than what they were on Tuesday.
We can have 80 degrees one day and 30 degrees the next. And that can really put a wrench in any sort of gardening efforts you're trying to put out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think about the temperature swings, which is kind of like I mentioned in the beginning, was sort of is typical in some ways of an Illinois spring. But also what we saw in March was atypical in the way we were almost 90 degrees, at least here in Champaign. And then in 3 days later, we were in 10 degrees. So I think about some of the decisions that have to be made, and planting is a big one. How should gardeners think about timing spring planting? I feel like as a gardener myself, it's like a needle to thread of avoiding problems with frost and freeze, but also not delaying getting that plant to maturity and making sure we can reap the benefits.
Right. I think one of the biggest mistakes people can make is trying to jump the gun and get out there early. And I've always encountered gardeners that they make it like their life's mission to get the earliest garden put in and be the first one to have a tomato planted outside and that sort of thing. And a lot of times you end up planting early and planting often if you're planting too early. And I talk about this with my students. I teach a vegetable gardening class on campus. And we talk about sort of the estimated last frost date is what, April 16th to 20th-ish. But that's a 50% chance it's still going to frost. So people are always trying to push the envelope, but maybe waiting a little bit till that frost-free date, which for us is right around May 15th, Mother's Day-ish. So kind of guaranteeing that your warm season crops won't get toasted nipped by the frost, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And what's interesting is we've seen, you know, as a climate trend, these last spring freeze dates generally trend earlier in the spring, but I think it was just a few years ago that we had like a mid-May frost here in Champaign. Yeah. that completely knocks people off their socks. And it's funny that you mentioned the getting garden in first. It reminds me of there's always in every county, there's a couple of farmers who are always the first to try to get planted. And it is, the psychology works the same. So what we think about, I mean, obviously not all plants are planted at the same time. What are some of the plants that we can plant, here in early April? And then what are some of the plants that really should wait until maybe May or June past that frost?
Sure. Like right now, you're really itching to get out there. Things like that can tolerate even a frost or sometimes a freeze would be your cool season plants. So things like all your leafy greens, like your lettuces and spinach and kale, root crops like onions, carrots, beets, that sort of thing. all your cole crops, so your broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, those type of things can go out. Peas tolerate cool temperatures really well. Things you should wait on are all your warm season crops. So your tomatoes, peppers, all your vining crops, your squash, melons, that sort of thing. And green beans, I would wait till it gets warmer.
Yeah, well, it's good. I planted my potatoes and onions last weekend ahead of this rain that we're getting.
Yeah.
So anticipating that we don't have a dramatic cool down. I was going to also mention or ask, so something that I know I've struggled with as a gardener is growing from seed and trying to start seeding. You know, it's always recommended, oh, start your seeds 6 weeks before the last frost or whatever. And it's like, well, that last frost could be in late March. It could be in early May. And sometimes I'll have issues where I'll start seed and the plant will be barely breaking ground by the time we're already in the warmth. So, you know, so what are some of the recommendations you have about if for those gardeners who want to start from seed, maybe indoors before they transplant outdoors?
Figuring out what is going to be your safe frost-free date. I still use May 15th, even though I know we can get a frost still, but it's pretty rare and count back from there. And when you're starting stuff indoors, definitely adding supplemental light. No matter how good you think your light is and you have a southern exposure, I've heard it all. It's still not as good as putting a light on it. And you're going to spend all the time and effort to start those plants. Give them the best conditions you can. And a light is going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, that's really good advice. So another issue, you know, we've talked about planting dates and things like that. When it comes to watering, it seems like there's a lot of different levels of advice out there. And we know that, of course, high heat can accelerate evaporation, but also too much water, especially this time of the year when we are just getting stuff in the ground, maybe, and their soils are usually wet anyway in the spring. How do you recommend gardeners sort of plan their watering routines around the weather and then just kind of generally what are good kind of rules about watering?
Like general rule of thumb for vegetable gardens would be somewhere around an inch and a half of water per week. So kind of factoring in whether you're getting rain or not, but then also factoring in whether it's hot and dry, because that is, like you said, going to accelerate evaporation. As far as trying to deal with your soil type, that factors in too. So if you have heavy clay soil, that's going to dry out slower. If you have real sandy soil, it's going to dry out quicker. If you're in an area to where you tend to, the soil just stays too wet for vegetables, most vegetables do not want to have wet feet. They don't want their roots sopping wet all the time. Maybe thinking about raised beds that might drain quicker and warm up quicker in the spring. Because sometimes even if we're not getting frost, if that soil is still pretty chilly, it's going to be hard to get things up and growing.
Yeah. So what are some signs of plants that are dealing with water stress, of not having enough water, I suppose?
Usually you'll see things like the leaves look dull and wilting. You can see in extreme cases, if you're growing a crop that is, you're needing it to flower and then produce fruit, you're going to have less flowers. A lot of times, if the flowers form at all, their life is shortened and they may not pollinate. So you don't end up getting any yield.
And then what about on the flip side, like too much water that the plant is having?
Well, this is the world of horticulture. Sometimes too much water equals wilting too, because you end up having problems with the roots. A healthy soil has pockets of air in the soil. So if it's totally saturated and sitting in water, you're going to end up suffocating the roots, and then the rest of the plant above the soil can't get the water it needs, so it starts to wilt.
So when we're talking about the kind of the mistakes that can be made, you mentioned actually from the beginning of getting out too early, planting things when it's not quite right yet, maybe not watering enough or watering too much or watering too frequently. Are there any other kind of common mistakes you see in the spring that can really hamstring somebody for the summer?
Oh, I used to get in an argument with my dad about this every spring, about when he always tilled the garden to start with. And it was when to till. And I would always tell him, like, it's too wet, Dad, don't till. And he would always ignore me. And what happens if you're tilling when the soil is too wet is you end up compacting it and you end up with little hard bits of soil and it just doesn't behave well for the rest of the season. So you can kind of just mess yourself up from the starting gate by tilling too early or tilling with the soil too wet.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially because that usually, I mean, the tilling will usually happen before we have the planting and other things that go on. So timing with the weather is always a real challenger, it seems like. Yeah.
But it's, again, getting out there and checking. You can manage to till really early if the soil's dry enough. But if we've just had, you know, series of rainstorms and it's really mucky and wet, you're just going to wreck the structure of the soil.
Is there a way, like a quick, easy way to tell if it's too wet, if it's wet? If you see water when you push in on it, or
it's just true. You see water, like, but I would take like a handful of soil and just kind of squeeze it and see, is it like you're playing with Play-Doh or does it crumble really easy? You can kind of have to gauge it that way.
Real quick shout out here to, I don't know if your dad or of other gardeners out there were like mine, where every piece of machinery had the gas powered machinery had the muffler come off right away. I don't know why he just always had that. So the tiller was actually the loudest piece of equipment that he owned. And all the neighbors knew that the 7 a.m. Sunday, Saturday morning when he tilled. So
yep, and I was never allowed to touch the tiller.
Oh, no, get rid of that. I don't know if we had one of those front till vans where that would take off on you. And kids these days are so spoiled with the rear tine tillers that just stop when you let it go, as opposed to one that chases off and ruins your fence. So
yes.
You're listening to Weather Realness, the weekly podcast about the climate and the weather. We're talking to Dr. Jen Nelson, a horticulturalist and professor in the Department of Crop Sciences at the University of Illinois, about gardening in the spring. So you mentioned this a little bit when we talked about what to plant. If it's okay, can we do a little bit of a lightning round about some of the best types of crops to grow during the spring? And if there's none, that's important to know too. Like, you can't grow this stuff. So what are some of the best fruiting plants to grow in spring weather? Or are there any fruits that do well in Illinois?
So like fruiting in terms of vegetables, you know, something that is going to produce a flower and then a fruit, though really the best one for spring would be peas. But as far as like small fruits and such, I mean, this is the time of year that you would be planting strawberries, and strawberries aren't going to be harvested until a little bit later in the spring. There's nothing I can think of small fruits wise that's really producing this part at this point in time.
What about leafy greens?
Oh, any of your lettuces, spinach, kale, those are all great choices. For a spring garden, you can get them out there right away. And if your garden is too wet, you could just put them in a pot and they'll do great in a small space that way.
And are those crops that can do pretty well in the fall as well, if you want to kind of a spring fall double crop?
Definitely. And also just keep in mind, when we say fall crop, it doesn't mean we're planting it in the fall. You're planting it in the late summer so that you can take advantage of before the weather turns.
What about herbs? What herbs are good to grow this time of year?
I say I've already harvested chives out of my garden at home. That's one of the first ones to show up. And if you've got perennial herbs, they're just starting to wake up now. So like things like thyme and sage and that sort of thing.
Lawn chives are those? I don't know, the wild onions that come up.
I have a number of students that are into foraging, and we've been talking all about that. And you got to be really cautious with foraging, knowing what's been applied to the ground and whatnot. We were talking about ramps, so wild leeks.
Oh, yeah.
That can be a really kind of coveted thing if you can find a source for those. I mean, those are all potentially around right now. Just got to know your source.
And then what about flowers? Are there any good flowers that are good for spring gardens?
Oh, my favorite is pansies, because they can tolerate some frost and they do better in the cool weather. Snapdragons are also in there too that'll appreciate the cool weather. Snapdragons can usually kind of hang on to life as it gets warmer to some extent. Pansies will tend to kind of die back. Some of them will reseed themselves and come back in the fall.
So let's switch real quick here to, we talked a lot about the plants that we want and like and eat. Uh-huh. What about the ones that grow better? The ones that we don't want? So now that things are coming up, dandelions are plentiful. Dandelions can be a crop, certainly. Right. I mean, grains for some are enjoyable. For me, not so much. But what kind of weeds should we be looking for this time of the year to get on top of and to be able to stay on top of for the season?
Things that this time of year, we want to get things like pre-emergent herbicides down for things like crabgrass to prevent the problem in the first place. At my house, I am really trying to deal with things like thistle, perennial weeds that are kind of tough to manage once they get big. But anything you can get at its smaller stages is going to save you a lot of grief over the course of the season.
And you mentioned a pre-emergent herbicide. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you can apply when before those annual weeds are actively growing.
Right. It has to be applied before the seed germinates. If the seeds have already germinated recently, we just put it down on our lawn. You can use those sorts of things in the vegetable garden, but you have to be really, really cautious and read the label, because if you cannot put it down at the same time that, well, for instance, if you're seeding a lawn or if you're seeding your vegetable garden and you've put a pre-emergent down, guess what? It doesn't care if you're a vegetable seed or a grass seed that is desirable. It's going to keep everything from growing.
Yeah. And is there a concern about residual? So if you, burn down some weeds with an herbicide in the fall, is there any residual that would stick around for plants or seed?
It really depends what you're putting down, and all of that should be on the label. And especially when you're using herbicides around food crops, you've got to make sure that it's labeled for use around that crop. And there will be, if it is labeled for use around a food crop, it will have very specific instructions about what's the interval that it can be applied before harvest.
And what about, so we did weeds, what about the insect pests? Are there insect pests that we need to be thinking about in the spring to make sure that they don't become a problem later on?
We're actually pretty lucky at this time of year. There's not too much that's a problem. Things to think about, though, in anticipation of the summer is when you're deciding where to plant stuff in your garden, thinking about crop rotation. It's not just for big farmers. It's for home gardeners, too. Because there's a lot of different, a lot of insects have a life stage that can overwinter either in plant debris or in the soil. And so not putting the same thing in the same spot twice can help break that cycle.
Are there any plants or plant families that are particularly susceptible to that kind of cycle, or is it just across the board?
They all have some degree of need for that, but like two groups that would stand out to me were any of the squash vining crops and then like tomatoes and peppers, because both for diseases and for pests, they both have things that can overwinter in the soil and plant material.
Turning to the last piece here, some of the hardest questions for you. I am really curious about, what are you most proud of growing? In your history as a gardener, have you had a plant that you're like, yes, I finally got that to grow?
I think the first time I got an orchid to reflower, that was very, very satisfying. So you get them, typically they're gifted to you or you buy them with a flower on them, but then having it go the full cycle and coming back into flower, that was, I felt like I knew what I was doing.
I feel like with orchids, if you talk to them in a kind of a mean way, they decide they're going to die.
Yeah.
So that is very impressive to hear that. What about a plant that still vexes you that you've never had good luck with?
English ivy, the houseplant. It's listed on every beginner houseplant like book and article known to man, but I cannot keep it alive.
It's funny how everybody has that, even the most seasoned gardeners. Mine, I'm not a seasoned gardener, but mine is sunflowers. I don't know. You know, the rabbits don't help with that, of course.
Right.
But, you know, sunflowers, I don't know. It just can't grow. Well, so last question. So for people who want to start gardening and may not have a long background or a lot of knowledge about gardening, what are some of the tips for folks who are just starting out?
My big advice to anybody starting out is to start small. because I usually encounter people like over the winter time or whatever, and they've got great dreams, right? They've got all the catalogs, they're going to tear up the backyard, and it's very easy to think you're going to do all this stuff in March or April, you know, February, when there's snow on the ground. But being also realistic with the space that you have, like what conditions do you have? How much sun do you have, et cetera? Being realistic about like both the space in terms of the environment, but also in terms of the size, but also your time. And it's not just, I mean, all of us are pressed for time. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter what you do, but being realistic, because if what I hate to see is people start off too big, and then by the middle of July, they're up to their ears in weeds, and they're like, this is just ridiculous. I can't do this. But if you start small and have some successes, you can build on that.
Yeah, well, that's great advice. So thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, I really appreciate your insight. And yeah, this has been great.
This is fun. Thanks.
For those just tuning in, you're listening to Weather Realist, the podcast about weather and climate. I'm Trent Ford, the state climatologist at the Prairie Research Institute.
Weather Realness is produced by
Jeff Frame,
Trent Ford,
Steve Nesbitt,
Reginald Hardwick,
Stephanie Orellana, and myself, Maddie Stover. Funding for this podcast is partially provided by the Backlund Charitable Trust. Weather Realness is produced by the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Illinois Public Media. We'll talk with you again next week.